Isaiah chapter 45 in verse 1 to verse 6. I'm going to read the first six verses. I will encourage that you please follow me as I do the reading. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed Cyrus, whose right hand I have held to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the armor of kings to open before him the two-leaf gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before you and make the crooked place straight. I will break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut asunder the bars of iron, and I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, who call you by your name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob my servant's sake and Israel my elect, I have called you by your name. I have named you, even though you do not know me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God besides me. I guided you, though you have not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Thus saith the Lord, verse 11 now. Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his maker, ask of me of things to come, concerning my sons and concerning the works of my hand. You command me. Let's pray together, Father. We want to count on your free spirit this morning to help us through. We want to rest upon the effectiveness of your Holy Spirit to guide the words that I speak this morning. That you will take those words and you will wing them by the power of your spirit, cause them to go forward with precision. Let them touch the life of a man, a woman, a boy, a girl under the sound of my voice today. I want to pray that in the end of the day we'll have every cause to glorify you, Satan having no place in our midst. Let all the praise and the glory go to you alone. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Can I have a good amen in the house of God? Okay, I want to begin a series, and I title it The Power of Prayer. Please let me look at somebody, say there's power in prayer. Say it again to somebody, say there's power in prayer. I'd like to quickly say that there are challenges and situations in our lives that our present connections, positions, our possessions, and our exposure cannot deal with until we pray. There are circumstances and situations in our lives that our education, your PhD, MHD, DHD, your MSc, MA, MBA, your BSBSA, BSc, whatever you want to call it. There are situations in our lives that we all do face and we will come to face that our positions, whether you're an MD, MG, whatever it is you're in society, you come to realize that we will all come to face circumstances and situations in our lives that our connections, our educations, our position, possessions, how much we have, how much clothes we have, how much shoes we have, how much houses, how much money, how much everything we have, will come to circumstances in our lives where all of those things, including your exposure, well-traveled, I fantastically appreciate that. But you come to moments in your life where all of those things will not be able to suffice unless you learn to pray. The reason why we need to pray is because prayer gives God the legal right to step into your situation. I want to do some teaching, so you're going to follow me carefully before we preach up a storm. Is that okay? Hallelujah. I've got to do some writing. I want you to get some things out of this service today. Okay, so the first thing I said, what is prayer? Now let's come to terms together. What is prayer? Prayer is giving God what? The legal rights to do what? To step into your situation. What that simply means is that if you don't pray, God will not step in. Is that okay? What gives God the legal right to step into your circumstance and situation is what? Prayer. When you pray, you're saying, Father, I give you the right to step into my circumstance. Yes, God is a sovereign God. God is a sovereign God. He rules over the affairs of men. However, the earth has he given to the sons of men. What that simply means is that if we do not pray and invite God into our circumstance, as much as we hate what we're going through, if we don't pray, then God will not show up. The Bible makes us understand that they captured James and they beheaded him and the church did nothing. And the Bible says God allowed them to kill James. But when they captured Peter, the Bible said the church began to pray. So they gave God the legal right to step into the circumstance. And God said, listen, you may have killed James. I'm not going to let you kill Peter, because now the church has given me the legal right to step into their circumstance. Please help me touch your neighbor. Say, give God the legal right. Okay. So prayer prepares a way. It prepares a way for God to introduce your destiny links. That's one of the things that prayer does also. How many of us want God to send people into our life? People that matters. People that will take you to the next level. How many of you, you know? Amen. Everybody, my two hands are raised up too. Amen. Now, let me quickly say this. Next to God, you need the right people in your life. Is that okay? There's little to how far you can go by yourself all alone. God needs to inject into your life from time to time the right kind of people who will move you from where you are to the next dimension in your life. The reality is, God needs to send the right people into your life, but he will not until you begin to pray. You've got to learn to pray. You're going to see one of such case studies today. Hallelujah. So prayer prepares a way for your destiny links to come into your life and move you to the next dimension in God. And one of such examples is the case that I want to bring before you today. The scripture that we read in Isaiah chapter 45. It's a story about a man called Cyrus. Has anybody heard about Cyrus? Eh? Anybody has heard about Cyrus? Eh? Raise your hands up. Okay, fine. A lot of us have heard about Cyrus. I remember, I think some of you were there. Gubabi Royal Hotel. Was anybody there? Those who were at Gubabi Royal Hotel when God led me to prophesy. Okay, fantastic. I was in Gubabi Royal Hotel, and that was barely a few months after His Excellency Yar'Adua came on board. And I was praying, and I said, Father, who is this man? Because God speaks to me about kings. God speaks to me about the nation. Is that okay? When Obasanjo was coming in, God told me who he was. You know, so, and I told some of us who were there then. I told you what was going to happen. I told you that I was going to bow out in shame. Is that okay? I said that to you all. All right. So when Yar'Adua came on board, I was like, God, who is this man? And God said to me, he said, this one is Cyrus. Did I say that or not? Okay, so I said to you that this is Cyrus. And I went further in that meeting, and I said to you that he was going to lay the foundation for so many things in this country. And I said to you, and that was where the trouble started from, I said to you that whether he will finish his assignment, I said, God has not shown me. And I was very precise to some of you. I said, what he has started, he will not finish. And then his brother got the CD through somebody. And the next meeting I was going to have, we noted that some security people came into the meeting, and I knew they were there. So I decided not to say the things they were waiting for me to say. The Bible says wisdom is profitable to what? Brother Samuel shared his own story with you, how that his own car, they were shooting the car recently, and that his car was not bulletproof, and that the bullets didn't come into the car. Now, if God is speaking to you about the state of the nation, you better be careful, particularly if your house does not have physical security. And if you are using a car that bullet can easily penetrate, you better be, amen? So I had to quickly reverse my positions, amen? All right. But we saw all of that come to pass. Is that not so? Okay, fantastic. Let's move on. Today, I want to share with you something. I want to share with you a dimension of prayer you are not used to. I want to bring you to an understanding of prayer that you have not been used to. Now, let me say this quickly. Prayer is not an end by itself. Prayer is not an end. Prayer is a means by which we get to an end. Is that okay? So you pray in order to accomplish certain ends. And one of the things that you use prayer to accomplish is what I want to share with you today. You will have to follow me carefully, because it's going to be a prophetic teaching that will require your deep understanding. Get to the story of Cyrus. Cyrus was a man that was prophesied. His birth was prophesied by Isaiah 150 years before he came. So please, I'd like you to begin to understand where I'm going to. Isaiah, the prophet of God, stood during the time of Babylonian captivity, including Jeremiah, and prophesied and said, there is coming a young man whose name will be called Cyrus. Are you getting what I'm saying here? And he prophesied that this young man is the one God is going to use to bring an end to the captivity of Israel after 70 years. And then he made us understand that he was going to be like a ravening bird from the east. So there were so many prophecies about him. The amazing thing was that the birth, now after 150 years, the birth of Cyrus was something that is so dramatic. And as I begin to talk to you a little bit about this young man, I'd like you to follow me carefully and look at your own life so you can understand why you were created and why you were born. We're meant to understand that after 150 years, there happens to be a king over Medes. And the name of this king happens to be Astyages. Astyages happens to be the king of Medes at that time. Now, Astyages had a daughter called Mandane. Is that okay? Now, one day he came to realize that his daughter was pregnant. And then the next thing that Astyages did was that he said, since my daughter is pregnant, he said, I need to figure out what's going on. And then Astyages had a dream. And then in that dream, he saw that water was issuing out from his daughter. And that the water that was coming out from his daughter, that water began to fill the whole of the city. And the water flooded the whole of Asia. At that point, Astyages decided to do something. He decided to call his magis. The magis happens to be those who are interpreters of dreams. Is that okay? These are men who are into necromancy, stargazing, and the rest of that, astrologers, and just like the people who saw the stars of Jesus. Do you understand that? All right. So he called on the magis and he said to them, he said, listen, I had a dream, and in this dream, I saw my daughter, and I saw water issuing out from my daughter, and the water filled the whole city, and later the water flooded the whole of Asia. He said, what do you think that this dream will mean? And then Maggie said to him that your daughter is carrying a son, and that this son will soon become mighty, and the son will overthrow you. At that point, this man became upset. And then what he did was to call somebody called Harpagos. Harpagos happened to be his closest and faithful servant. So he called Harpagos and said, Harpagos, I'd like you to do something for me. He said, I'd like you to carry my daughter when it's close to the time of delivery. I'd like you to carry my daughter into the desert and let her give birth in the desert. And when she gives birth in the desert, I'd like you to do something for me. Make sure that the child does not survive. Kill the child. Now, don't forget that Harpagos has been so faithful to this man. So Harpagos carried his daughter. Carried the daughter of Astyages and took her into the wilderness. And when she gave birth, Harpagos decided not to kill the child. He just didn't even know why he could not kill the child. He said when he looked at the child, he beheld the child, something compelled him not to touch the child. But now don't forget, he has to go back and make a report to his own king. So what Harpagos did was that he now looked for a man called Mithridates. And then he called Mithridates, a shepherd, and said to Mithridates, he said, I want to give you this particular child. And I'll please want you to kill the child for me. I don't want to use my own hand to kill the child because the king has already made a decree that this child should be killed. So Mithridates carried the child in a wrapped format. Cyrus was wrapped. When Mithridates got home, and then they unwrapped the child, and the wife of Mithridates saw the child, compassion welled up on the inside of her. And she said, neither shall we kill this child. And so they carried the child and hid the child away from the king. And as shepherds, they began to raise him up as a shepherd. Do you understand that? Until Cyrus became a fully matured man. It was at this point when he became a matured man that there was a need, a vacuum in the land of Persia for a king to come on board. To cut a long story short, Cyrus became the king of Persia. Eventually, you know the story. Cyrus then took over Medes and then conquered Babylon. I'm going there. But you see, before I go too far, I'd like you to look at your life and some of the things that you survived. I want you to think back. Look at how, by divine providence, how that God kept this young man from being killed. His grandfather wanted to kill him, but somehow destiny preserved him, handed him over to Harpagos. Harpagos could not kill him. gave him over to Mithridates, and that one too could not kill him. How that? Because don't forget this, 150 years ago, a prophecy was made concerning the child. Please, I'd like you to help me look at your friend and tell the person, prophecy is speaking for you. You see, you may not understand, but the reality is that somebody has been praying for you. You may not understand, but somebody's been speaking a word over your life. You may not understand, but there is something in the word of the Lord. There is a prophecy concerning your destiny that has been keeping you alive. You've gone through hell and high water. How that you're alive today is still a mystery to a lot of people. Let me move on a little bit further. 559 BC, the young man called Cyrus became the king of Persia. 9 years later, that's 550 BC, he captured Medes. And then 539, 20 years later, he captured Babylon. Don't forget that Babylon was a world power at that time. Is that okay? Where you have people like Nebuchadnezzar and the rest of them, there was a world power. But you see, in prophecy it has been said that Cyrus was the one that the tulip gates will be opened before. God said he will lose the loins of kings because of Cyrus. We're made to understand that when he was going to capture Babylon, take note of this please, there are 100 gates in Babylon. 100 gates, 25 on each side. 25 on the west, 25 on the south, 25 on the east, and just like that. 25, 25. The amazing thing was that on the night that Cyrus was going to invade Babylon, mysteriously, the king of Babylon instructed his people to leave the gates open. Somebody touch your neighbor, say, prophecy is at work. I'm going somewhere today. We're looking at the power of prayer. And my focus today will be helping you to see how you can release your Cyrus. It's a Cyrus factor I want to deal with you, teach you on today. So, to cut a long story short, he was able to penetrate Babylon and captured Babylon. And when he captured Babylon, we're made to understand by Josephus, who happens to be a biblical historian, he stated that Cyrus one day, please note this, and I wanted to get it straight. You see, Cyrus was ruling in Persia. Is that okay? He was ruling in Persia 559 until 539 when he came into Babylon. Between those 20 years, he was comfortable as a ruler of Persia. He was comfortable as the man who was in charge of Persia and Medes, as a ruler over the whole place. He had chariots to himself. He had men serving him. He had a big palace. Everything was there. So he was enjoying himself. He was comfortable until one day, somebody went and met him and said, "Sir Cyrus, there is more to life than having a big palace. Cyrus, there is more to life than having chariots following you all over the place. There is more to life than having people serving you, some bowing down to you. Cyrus, there is more to life than having success, even in battles." And Cyrus said, "I want to figure out what else can there be on earth than being the king of Persia. I'm comfortable. Everything is working out well for me." And the person says, "Sorry, sir, that there is a prophetic word concerning you. 150 years ago, a man of God called Isaiah prophesied concerning you, mentioned your name." I'm going somewhere today. And he said, "Can you bring me the document so that I can look at the document? What is it all about?" And it was then, when he opened the document, he saw Isaiah chapter 45, where we just read today. And when he saw Isaiah chapter 45, he saw how that it was written concerning him, that number one, he was the one that God was going to use to bring an end to the 70 years captivity of the Jewish people. Now, don't forget that he's a Persian man. He's a man from Midis, Iran. Do you understand what I'm saying today? Now, this man discovered in prophecy that he was the one that God was going to use to deliver the children of Israel from the 70 years captivity that they've been in under the rulership of Nebuchadnezzar. You see, in those days, when you think about conquering a nation, you don't think about going to Babylon. Now, I want you to imagine that Nigeria now wants to go and take up a war with America. That was what it was like in those days. If prophecy is not behind you and purpose is not in place, don't try that. So this man, when he discovered that there was prophecy concerning his life, that he was the one that God was going to use to deliver the children of Israel from the captivity that the children of Israel were in for 70 years. Number two, that he was going to sign their release. Number three, he was going to proclaim their departure. Number four, that God was going to use him to rebuild the temple that was destroyed in Jerusalem. When he saw all of that, he made the statement. Cyrus said, "Thus say Cyrus the king, since God Almighty has appointed me to be the king of the habitable earth, I believe that he is a God which the nations of Israel worship. For indeed, he foretold my name by the prophets. And that I should build him a house at Jerusalem in the country of Judah." Now, this is in the Antiquities 1.1. Is that okay? Under Josephus. Josephus. Now, these are things you don't find in the Bible. But it's there. These are historical facts. When he saw... thank you, Jesus. When he saw that in prophecy, there is a statement concerning him, we were meant to understand that he was motivated. Let me put it this way. According to Jeremiah, Jeremiah makes us understand, and Joseph declares it this way, that it was a prophecy that he saw that motivated him to fulfill what was written. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You see, every time you discover prophecy, what happens is that you go from significance, from success to significance. There is more to success. Is not the highest level. Significance is the highest level. Is that okay? The moment Cyrus saw that there was something in the word written concerning him, Cyrus was stirred up in the spirit. That, do you mean that there is more to life than what I'm already having? You mean God wants to use me? Now, don't forget this, please. Cyrus was not a Christian. Never make a mistake. When you see the Bible says, Cyrus, my anointed. When God called Cyrus my anointed, he was not saying Cyrus was a Christian. Cyrus was never born again until he died. But Cyrus was God's anointed. He was God's chosen. God raised up Cyrus to carry out God's agenda. Hallelujah. His assignment became so clear. I told you, you have to follow me carefully today. His assignment became so clear. Number one, he had discovered in the book. Somebody say in the book. He had discovered in the book, number one, that he was to end the 70 years of the Jewish captivity. Number two, that he was to proclaim their release from captivity. Number three, that he was to rebuild the temple of God. The biblical record of that edict reads as follows. Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth has Jehovah, the God of heaven, given me. And he has charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. You find that in Ezra chapter 1 verse 2. What we're saying here is that this man was stirred up when he saw that in prophecy, God has already spoken concerning him, that he was going to be the rebuilder of the temple that was destroyed. Number two, that was going to signal the release of the Jews. When he saw that, he made a decree based on what he saw. Now, let me say something here. Every man's captivity, limitations, and frustrations will continue until God sends a Cyrus your way. Wait a minute. The children of Israel were in captivity for how many years, please? Say it again. For how many years? 70 solid years. And they will have to be in that captivity until who comes? Until who comes, please? All right. Somebody quickly say, Lord, release my Cyrus. You better catch it seriously here. Somebody say, Lord, release my Cyrus. You're not saying it like a person who is praying. Somebody said, Lord, release my Cyrus. Now, don't forget that the children of Israel had to be in Egypt for 400 years until who shows up. Say it again, until who shows up. Now, listen to me. Now, God has already said they're going to be in Egypt for how many years? 400 years. And what year did they leave Egypt?
438 years. Do you understand that? And that was because Moses had to go and spend an extra years, some extra years in the wilderness. Now listen, when Moses was in the wilderness, my concern was, God, can't you release them by yourself? I'm taking you a little bit. I told you from the beginning, when I started, somebody was looking at me, I'm taking you deeper today. You're going to see a different dimension of prayer. All this just, you don't just pray to pray. Is that okay? You pray to change things. You pray to alter things. Hallelujah. Okay, so watch this carefully. Ah, God help me, Jesus. I feel something here. Ah. So watch this. I said, God, is it that you cannot bring them out by yourself? And God said to me, can't you see my statement there? Look at what God said when he met to Moses, sir. God said, Moses, I have heard the cry of my children. I have seen the affliction. And I have come down to deliver them. But then I said, God, so go and deliver them. And God said to me, he said, son, I have come down but will not do it until I find a man. Because the heavens belong to God, the earth has he given to the sons of men. Every man's captivity and frustration will continue until God sends you your Cyrus. Am I talking to someone in the house of God here? I'm saying this because of those of us who don't value people. You don't value people. And because you say, well, you know, I have God. Let me quickly say this to you. The Bible says, I have seen your affliction. I have seen your tears. I have come down to deliver you. But if I don't have a Moses, you are finished. Somebody was about to sleep before me. But the person is awake now. Come on, quickly say it again. Say, Lord, release my Cyrus. Every family will continue in shame and reproach until God sends you a Cyrus. Every community will continue in bondage until God sends you a Cyrus. Am I talking to somebody here? Now, please don't forget this. Your Cyrus may not be born again. South Africa had their own Cyrus. Am I correct, sir? God raised up a man who became their Cyrus. And the name of the man is what, sir? Nelson Mandela. Indians had their own. What's the name of the man, sir? Mahatma Gandhi. African Americans had their own. What do we call the man, sir? Martin Luther King. God will always have to raise up Osiris. Otherwise, the people's bondage will continue. Nigeria is where Nigeria is because we are yet to really see our Cyrus. The first man that ever showed up in the spirit of Cyrus in this country. The first man that ever showed up in the spirit of Cyrus. For there shall be the coming back of another Cyrus in this country. The first man that ever showed up in the spirit of Cyrus in this country was the man called Yaradua. And his time was cut short because it was by the predetermined counsel of the Almighty God. Nigeria will have to continue until the day Nigerians begin to pray and say, Lord, send us our Cyrus. The first thing that Cyrus will do is to proclaim your release. The second thing that Cyrus will do is to end your captivity. Number three, the third thing that Cyrus will do is to rebuild your temple. Number four, the next thing that Cyrus will do is to empower the people financially. How do I know, sir? The Bible says, and Cyrus made an edict and said, let them go and build the temple of the house of the Lord. And he said, if there be any man who cannot go, let his neighbor give him silver and gold. Hallelujah. Every individual, community, family, nation will continue in darkness until the coming up of Cyrus. Until Cyrus shows up. I want you to know six things about Cyrus so you can appreciate the need for prayer. There are six important things you need to know about Cyrus or Cyruses. Isaiah chapter 45 verse 1. The Bible says God called him my anointed. Is that okay? Okay, so the first thing you need to know about Cyrus is that Cyruses are God's anointed. And the word anointed means one that God has assigned, approved. Is that okay? God is the one that protects them. God is the one that lifts them up. God is the one that blesses Cyruses for his purposes. Oh God. See, as much as you are a Christian, you are born again, you are anointed by the Spirit of God, and as wonderful as and tongue-talking as you are, the reality is there are some people who are not born again that you may never be able to rival financially. Because God permitted them. I don't know if Bill Gates is born again. I don't know if Bill Gates worship Jesus. But there is something I know that Bill Gates already has. God has put his hand on that man. God has put his hand. You know what Bill Gates has started to do? Bill Gates says when he dies, none of his wealth is going to be left behind. If I right now as it is, Bill Gates is already giving out the greatest portion of his wealth. His major assignment now is to wipe out malaria from the whole of Africa. So, anointed Christians, born again talking people have not done that. Yeah? When we get born again, and God blesses us, you know what we do with it in church? We intimidate each other. Am I correct, sir? Have you seen Bill Gates? Simple. Keys, keep it simple. The hand of God is upon that man to ensure that this ravaging wickedness called mosquito bites and fever in Africa is eradicated. And the man is investing billions into that. Billions. Right now, I'm sure you are aware that they have almost found a cure. They have already done a test run for one solid year. And they found that the drugs that they use is almost effective. So it's almost at the second or third clinical stage now. Almost for global approval. And this man says, I am committed to eradicating mosquitoes or fever, malaria from Africa. The hand of the Lord is upon him to get that done. Am I talking to somebody here? Somebody say, Lord, send me my Cyrus. The prayer will change later on. The prayer will change later, but just let's go on first. So watch this carefully now. Cyruses are people that God anoints, empowers. God is the one that educates them. God makes sure that they get educations. God ensures that they are highly placed. God gives them everything that they will need in order to carry out what's up? His purpose. Are you getting what I'm saying? Number two. Isaiah 45 verse 2. He said, I will go before him. I will go before him. In essence, Cyruses always have God fighting battles on their behalf. Are you getting what I'm saying here? God always fights battles on behalf of Cyruses. So you will be wondering that you're born again and you're having too many battles. And then you wonder that, look at the Cyrus. How is it that God is the one fighting his own battle? It's because of purpose. So that God can keep them focused. You see, when God wants a man to carry out purpose, God will take away distraction from the man. I'm going somewhere. Number three. It says, I will give you the treasures of darkness. Fantastic. The treasures of what? Darkness. Now, this is what God normally does. God is the one who normally gives Cyruses wealth. Don't forget that when Cyrus came into Babylon, the wealth, the treasures that, what's his name now? Nebuchadnezzar gathered from the temple of God and he kept them where? In Babylon. When Cyrus came, Cyrus just walked into the place and the treasures that were kept in darkness, he found them. The riches that were kept in hidden places, he did not labor for them. Cyruses are people that God supernaturally knows the way, opens the door for them, grants them access to wealth like nothing else. Somebody said, that's me. Are you sure?
Let's try now. Maybe if the prayer will begin to change. Somebody say, Lord, send me my Cyrus. Okay. I didn't tell you anything. You are the one changing the prayer points, right? I told you that the prayer point is going to change. It's a gradual process we're going through. Is that okay? Fantastic. Okay, let's get going now. So the treasures of darkness are kept. How many of you want the treasures of darkness? I know Christians. The more you hear darkness, God forbid. I don't know why, sir. But the reality is that treasures are always kept in darkness. And if you are not ready to go into darkness, you can't find them. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The real businesses in this country, they are not done in the day. Real contracts are not signed in the afternoon. See, if you don't have heart, just continue doing afternoon business. Because the kind of things I'm talking about, they begin, the real kind of business I'm talking about, they start from 7 in the evening. When normal people go to sleep, that's when abnormal one shows up. Treasures, where are they found, sir? In darkness. Riches are found where? In hidden places. And then God, look at what God says. God says, I will give to you. Not that you will look for it. I will go locate it and carry it and give it to Husa. Number 4, verse 4. This is where I want everybody to read that one now. This is where the prayer point will shift. Verse 4, are we all there? All right, let's read it. 1, 2, go. So get it right now. I want to ask you a question now. I want to ask you a question before I get preachy. So, why was Cyrus raised up? Say it again. For the sake of who? It said, for my servant Jacob's sake and for Israel. Is that okay? Now, watch this carefully here. Cyruses are raised up not for themselves. The reason many of us cannot carry the Cyrus anointing is because we are too self-centered. Okay, let me ask you again. How many of you want treasures of darkness? How many of you want hidden riches in secret places? Okay, I ask you a question. If suddenly the treasures of darkness enter your hand, what would be the first thing you will do? Private jet. God bless you. A mansion. Investment. Invest in your future and your family. Man of God. Uplift others. Man of God, that thing is not easy to talk of. Bike, you pay tight. All liars will go to hell. Kalu, treasures of darkness enter your house. Boom. What will you do? Sir, the whole essence here today, I've not come so that we can have so much preaching here and there without understanding. The reason God can't trust you with certain level of wealth that you're praying for is because God can't trust your heart. Pastor, sir, where are the children of God when God had to go raise up a Cyrus, an unbeliever, to carry out the will of God? We are his children. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? Where are the children of God
Why would God have to look away and say, listen, even though the man does not know me, because don't forget the Bible says, God says concerning Cyrus, he said, for thou hast not known me. What will a righteous God be doing with an unrighteous man? Now listen, Cyrus was likened to a ravening bird from the east. Am I correct? Now you know ravens are unclean birds. And that's what Cyrus was. So why will God go to an unbeliever and say, hello, Alhaji Ishaku, please, I would like to trust you so that you can help me go and deliver my children, the children of Israel, and please, Alhaji Ishaku, you shall help me build a church for them. Listen. And the next thing Alhaji Ishaku said was that, he said, wow. He said, guess what happened? Honestly, when I see a voice of the word of God saying, "Ami God, did he trust like this?" He said, "Absolutely, come, I give him completely myself. Anything he wants for me to do, I do. I come a shake number." Fantastically, come on, I'm just rendering my service to the Almighty God. It does not really matter to me. God, am I build them a mosque, I build them a church. If God wants my service, I give them to church. But she cannot come over. Can you imagine the simplicity with which Cyrus accepted service? That's why. Oh, the riches of the Gentiles shall be mine. Oh, the prosperity. Oh, money. Come. How many don't come? It's like the more you are calling, the more this. God can't trust your heart. The Cyrus anointing is an anointing that comes on people whose heart God can trust. It says, Cyrus, the reason I blessed you is for Jacob's sake, not yours. And Cyrus said, when he saw it, he said, exactly why you bless me is what I will do. And so in Ezra chapter 1 in verse 2, he gave a decree that instantly let everybody return, let everybody go back to their land, and let the house of God be built. Listen, he had to get Shasbaz. He got one of the men who is in charge of the treasury and says, I carry the money from treasury of the government, ministry of finance. That was the minister of finance in those days. He said, carry the money from government purse. He said, let us use it to build the house of God. A man that God can trust his heart. When God saw the heart of Cyrus, God said, you will not only rule over Persia, you will also rule over Medes. But you will not also rule over Medes. I will bring down Babylon before you because I can trust your heart. And God subjugated Babylon, brought Babylon on his knees, caused Nebuchadnezzar and his cohorts, every one of them lost control of Babylon. This man entered, we're made to understand that it was the first of his kind in the history of warfare, that he entered the city without shooting an arrow, conquered the city without shedding blood. Because God could trust the heart of this man, the Bible said God was going ahead of him, opening two leaf gates. Anywhere God finds kings, he will lose their loins. Loins symbolizes your authority, what makes you together. God will lose the authority of kings because of this man. God will open two lead gates because of him. Because God could trust his heart. I appreciate all of you who said you're going to buy mansions, you're going to buy this. That's the truth. Because we're in a country now where everything that we're all concerned about is self-preservation. Poverty has so dealt with our psyche that the first thing is that why we're having a rotting governmental system? Because it's all about me, my, I. Self-preservation. And you know the funny thing about that is that it blinds you. It blinds you. Cyrus is our people who are saying, Father, thank you for giving me education. I believe, Lord, I'm educated because somebody else needs my assistance. Lord, I thank you because you've given me beauty. I think, Lord, you can use this to help somebody else. Thank you, Father God, for the gift of oratory. I believe you've given me this gift so that somebody else can be blessed. Lord, thank you for the position that you put me in. I believe you put me in this position so that somebody else can be advanced. Oh, I remember the words of Martin Luther King when he was speaking about service. Martin Luther King said, you don't need education to serve. He said, you don't need wealth to serve. He said, you just need a heart to serve. That's all it takes. Cyruses are the people that God is calling us to pray and command their release. In verse 13, one thing you must know about Cyrus again. In verse 13, as I begin to close, we're going to pray here today. And we're going to have just two prayer points. Just two prayer points. In verse 13, it said, I have raised him. And then later I said, I will direct his ways. One of the things that you see, please take note of this. He said, I will raise him. And I will do what, sir? Please, you don't go looking around for Cyruses. God directs Cyruses to you. God sends them. Your job is to pray and say, Father, send me my Cyrus. Is that okay? Man of God, last year my wife and I, was it last year maybe or 2009? 2009. My wife and I got to a point, we just said, let's hold our hands together to pray. And the prayer point, we say, Father, you are using us to be a blessing to so many people. We say, please, Lord, do one thing for us. Begin to send into our lives the right kind of people. We specifically ask God to begin to send into our lives the right kind of people. Miraculously, that's how Pastor Andrew came. I didn't go to Pastor Andrew. Somebody went and dropped my CD with him. And he said, who is this young man? What is he doing in Nigeria? Send into our lives the right people. But listen, the only grounds upon which I could pray that prayer was on the ground that, Lord, I'm a destiny link to somebody else. I'm a Cyrus to somebody. I now need you to send me my own Cyrus. And that's how God began to, people like you began to come. Gradually. And you know, recently also in church, I was like, God, I just need somebody who is into project management that can be able to really proffer solutions through project management. Yeah, one or two, three people here who are into all of that, but I need somebody. And suddenly, Pastor Zach came and told me, he said, God has blessed us with one young man, Akita Bodunde or something. I don't know if he's here today and all of that. And then he said, that young man has come, and if you see what this young man is doing in church. And gradually, somebody has just walked up to me and said, sorry, Pastor, the Lord has just told me to come here, to come and do this. I'm like, God, what are you doing? What are you doing? One of the men of God who is seated here came and met me 3 days ago. He said, Pastor, I am not here to preach. I am not here to do anything. He said, but please, I just came here to be one of those who will be praying with you. That's my assignment in this ministry. Send into my life my Cyrus. Please watch this. The Bible says, I will direct the ways of Cyrus. I will direct the ways of Cyrus. God is the one that tells Cyrus what to do, not you. The next thing in verse 13 there, it says, Cyrus shall build my city and it shall set free my exiles, not for a price. In fact, that was the one that really captivated my attention. It says, Cyrus shall build my city, he shall set my people free, not for a price or reward, saith the Lord of hosts. You know what, sir? Cyruses don't look up to people for rewards. Come on, look up here, everybody. Look up here. How many of you want God to release the Cyrus anointing on you? Philip, if God is going to use you as a Cyrus, to stand up. Two of you, stand up. If God is going to send you as a Cyrus into the life of Mr. Ronti, never make this mistake. The recipient of your service is not your rewarder. Beware, because the danger is that once you begin to do that, the anointing on you will be taken. Are you getting what I'm saying now? It said, not for a price or a reward. It means you just simply reach out into Cyrus's, into Ronti's life, bless him, and walk out. Sit down.
So something happened in this church a few sometimes ago. A woman came to this church and she just came and met me. Blah, blah, blah. She has a challenge. Is it house rent? Is it house rent or something? House rent? Okay. And she was house rent, and all of that. And that day, somebody just walked up to me and said, "Pastor, I just want to bless you with this offering." And the person put about 100,000 in my hand. And the woman said, she needs about 120,000. I don't know her from anywhere. And God said to me, give it to her. I carry 100,000. She said she's only 20,000 naira. I called somebody close to me. I said, can you give me 20,000? Put the money into her hand, give it to her. Now, I remember that my welfare coordinator, one of our women, was like, "Papa, you don't know this person. And you went and gave the person something. And all of that. Will the person be coming to our church?" I said, that's the point. That's the point. I didn't give the person so that the person can come to Harvest House. Not for a price, not for a reward. If you are going to be a Cyrus, be a blesser without looking for rewards. Are you getting what I'm saying here? So the true Lord matters that during that period when she was coming for help, she was regular in church. Immediately after the money enters her hand, I couldn't find out. One day we ran into each other and I'm like, "Madam, how are you doing and everything?" I should say, "Pastor, where we stay, you know, it's very, very far. And to get Okada from that place to where we are and all." No, I say, "Madam, I'm not asking you to come to church. I'm just saying, how are you doing?" Are you getting what I'm saying here? All right, let me begin to close with this now. How do you receive Cyrus? This is where prayer comes in. How do you bring Cyrus into your life? How many of us know that we need Cyruses in our lives? There are things God has said about your life, like he said about the children of Israel, that will not happen until God sends Cyruses into your life. You see, the next position you're going into, somebody has to hold you by the hand and take you there. Am I talking to somebody, sir? There is nothing like, "Holy Spirit, be taking me there. Holy Spirit." And then you appear in the president's palace. "Holy Spirit, take you." You see, when the SSS say, "Hey, where are you going to?" You will close your eyes. I've been going through Asu Rock. "Holy Spirit, be leading me. Be leading me. Be lead." Hey, you will open your eyes. Where are you going to? If they give you a slap, you recognize you. When my wife and I were invited by the family of the former president, all of that, you know, when we to at the gate, sir, you know the protocol, at the gate, they say, "It's your name here." Even if the Holy Spirit was leading you, when they ask you that question, your eyes will be open. Are you getting what I'm saying here? So in life, somebody must hold your hand and take you to the next platform in destiny. The next place you are heading to in life, the next position you want to, oh God, the next position you are going to in life, somebody is the one that has a capacity to hold you by the hand and take you there and walk out. We call those kind of people Cyruses. Bishop T.D. Jakes was struggling in ministry 24 years, sir. In Charleston, West Virginia, nobody knew him. But one day, Bishop Carlton Pearson called him and said, "Come to Azusa, come and attend this conference." And Bishop Carlton invited him to his platform. You see, there's got to be a Cyrus who will put you on his platform. I don't even preach to anybody here. There's got to be a Cyrus. Now, all the vision you are, I saw myself, "Hey, Holy God, I'm going to get it, Bob." I saw myself preaching in America. "Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Father, oh, see me." I saw myself in Russia. I see. You open your eyes, you see me here. Is that okay? Russia. Praise God. Praise God. See my business. See them. Hallelujah. See them. See my company in Japan. See the other one in Australia. See them. See people coming, entering my shop and coming out. Wake up. Open your... you are sitting here. Is that okay? If you are ever going to go there, ask anybody. There's nobody here today. Nobody here today that has come to a particular level in life that will not tell you that somebody somewhere was involved in the process.
you will continue for long in the place of struggles until God sends in a Cyrus into your life who will just come in, do what God has asked him to do, and walk out. Not for a price, not for a reward. But how will Cyrus come into your life? That is the question. See, you can wish for Cyrus, they will not come. I was shocked when I saw the word, and I saw it in the book of Isaiah chapter 45 verse 11. Look at it carefully. Hard work is good. It takes a manifestation of a Cyrus for you to enter into the fullness of God's plan for your life. What is the key to releasing our Cyrus? Are you there? If you're there, say amen. All right, we're going to read Isaiah chapter 45 in verse 11 together. One, two, go. Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands. What? There are two things there. If Cyrus is to show up, you have to ask. And you've got to command him concerning the work of his hands. Father, I ask for the release of my Cyrus. That is where prayer comes in. Is that okay? I guarantee you under God, begin to make that your prayer point from now. Father, send me my Cyrus. And you will be shocked how God will begin to line up in your life people that would, your life will be accelerated. Everything you're asking for is in the hand of somebody. Somebody has a capacity. Listen to me. You are not usually more than four people away from where you're going to. How to line them up is an issue. That's where prayer comes in. That's where prayer comes in. Somebody gave Pastor Andrew my CD. Pastor Andrew invited him to come and preach in their church. The first time I came to preach, Pastor Yemi heard my message. We were like, wow. She was like, immediately you're going to be speaking at our conference next year. And so I came there to speak just recently. He came to see me after the program. And when I came there to preach, and I discovered that Prophetess Francina Norman was there. Prophetess Francina Norman came. She's a chaplain with the White House. Prophetess Francina Norman was there. She came with a woman called Renee, the wife of Simon T. Bailey. You know, she came there together with her. And then Bishop Iona Locke was also there. Dr. Kevin J. Smith was there. And these are all strong American top leaders, speakers. And I was just there, and I just came, just did my Nigerian stuff, you know. And honestly, I just did what I thought I should be able to do. And by the time I just noticed I went, one thing I noticed is they couldn't sit down. Whatever I was not making them sit down, I didn't know, you know. So, but when I was through, guess what I discovered? Simon T. Bailey's wife, Renee, came up to me. She said, man, she said, all through while you were speaking, I was just seeing my husband. I said, I don't know your husband. How can I be relating me to your husband? Your husband is a drug dealer, all I know. So I didn't know I was speaking. I was talking with the wife of the number 10 leading motivational speaker in the world. In the world. And here was I. I've been thinking of how will I join the American motivational speaker, inspirational speakers, all this. Yes, sir. How will I? Maybe I should write. Maybe I should. I didn't know I was talking to the wife of the number 10 in the world. After the meeting, she said, you know what? She said, I have called my husband immediately after this meeting and spoke to him concerning you. I was here in Nigeria when I got a mail from the husband. And you know what he said, sir? Out of every other thing. He said, Pastor Sam, not knowing that the wife bought my DVDs, took them over to Mashirona's church. That's where they worship. Mashirona that I've been watching as a small boy since 18 years ago. And I'll be like, hey, God, where will I? His teachings now. I'm like, hey, God, now where will go? People like us go reach? She carried my DVD and went to distribute them all across in Florida. And the next night, it was a God to get a mail from the husband saying to me, say, Pastor Sam, he said, I want you to please be aware. If for any reason you're coming to the United States, he said, if you have anything to do in Florida, my wife and I will be fully responsible for everything. Now, wait a minute. I've said all of that to say one thing. I didn't go to meet Simon T. Bailey. I met somebody who eventually created a platform. Your next level, your next dimension is in God, is connected to a Cyrus you must meet. My God. Can I drum this into your spirit? See, I know you are working hard. Hard work is good though. See, if hard work is what prospers men, may we borrow will have prospered more than you do. Am I talking to somebody in the house of God? If it is hard work. I believe in work hard. But if it is work hard, people should have prospered beyond you. But there are other things in life. It's about somebody knowing something. The Bible says Joseph was in the prison, and the butler, his Cyrus, went into the palace and said, "Sir, there is a man in the prison." And he said, "A prisoner." He says, "This is not an ordinary prisoner." And he marketed Joseph to them. And they said, "Okay, send him down." Now, please, this is where I'm going to now. When a Cyrus creates a platform for you, don't dishonor it. Yes. Let me say it again. If I use my platform to introduce you to somebody, don't misuse that platform. It's a sacrifice I'm making to invite you on my own platform. Justify it. Make the best use of it. Am I talking to somebody here? If I connect you with somebody, don't later meet the person and say, "Did you introduce this person to me?" Justify that introduction. Joseph said, "Sir, there is a man in the prison. I think you all need him." And that's how they introduced Joseph to the king. And when the king saw Joseph, the Bible makes us understand that the king said, "You are no more going back to where you're coming from. Your story is changed. You came to interpret my dream, but I also came to interpret your own." You see, it was my dream. The interpretation of my dream was what necessitates your coming. The real thing is that I'm supposed to interpret your own dream. Oh God, I don't know how I'm going to do this here today. So the butler became Joseph Cyrus. Took him to the palace. Introduced him. Can I speak by the Spirit of the Lord? Your Cyrus is coming. That amen is not good understanding. Your Cyrus is coming. Now you will understand we are going to from the beginning. Don't forget, I told you what Cyrus went through. They were to kill Cyrus as a child. But destiny did not allow them to kill him. There are people that have not died because God is keeping them for you. Am I talking to somebody in the house of God? Your Cyrus will connect with you. I don't know what I'm prophesying to, but your Cyrus will connect with you. I said your Cyrus will connect with you. I remain standing. Listen, sir, something amazing. Naomi, Ruth lost her husband, so she followed Naomi. Am I correct, sir? And Naomi became a Cyrus to who, sir? To Ruth. Mentored her for a while, introduced her to Boaz, who eventually redeemed her. There was no way Ruth could have married Boaz if Naomi was not instrumental. "Oh, this is your father, God. You are not showing me who I'm supposed to marry because you are not nice to some people." I don't get to what I just said. If only you are nice to people, there is a Naomi that can link you up with your Boaz. Send me my Cyrus, Lord. Send me my Cyrus, Lord. Send me my Cyrus, Lord. Send me my Cyrus. There are contracts that can change your life. See, you can handle a contract and go to sleep for the next 1 year. Because there will be no more need to work. I don't know if I'm talking to somebody here. Listen, I'm not talking about Spain. Don't contact FCT and Abuja in Nigeria here. There are jobs that can make you go to sleep for one solid year. But somebody needs to tell you about it. There's a Cyrus who can effect the release of that kind of a thing. You will connect with your Cyrus. I said you will connect with your Cyrus. I said you will connect with your Cyrus.